I'm Don Marsh. Normally, we go behind the headlines on Fridays. Throughout the year, many of those headlines have reflected hostility and angry rhetoric. Today, we write our own headline. We'll call it Coming Together, as members of two faith groups who do not celebrate Christmas come together with their own version of holiday generosity. It's called the Jewish and Muslim Day of Community Service. With me to talk about it are co-chairs Sophie Malik, representing the Islamic Foundation of Greater St. Louis. Roberta Gutwein represents the Jewish Community Relations Council. Also with us is Anna Crosland, the president and CEO of the International Institute of St. Louis. Thank you so much, ladies, for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Roberta, let me start with you. For those who aren't familiar with this day of service, could you kind of give us a general overview of what the basic concept is?
Sure. Well, this is our sixth year. It started actually 7 years ago when a very small group of Jews and Muslims decided to go out on Christmas Day and deliver blankets and food to the elderly. It was snowing. It was terrible weather. But there was something about doing that that really ignited something. And the following year, we really decided to work harder and make it more of an event. And we had actually over 500 Jews and Muslims who came together to volunteer at many different sites across the city and the county. And this year, we are now up to over 800 people who are coming together to just do acts of kindness, loving kindness, which are a big part of the Jewish and the Muslim community, and to help Christians out so that possibly they don't have to work on Christmas Day.
That is one of the basic motives, actually, is to just kind of step in and give them a little time off.
Yes, that's a big part of it. And also just to give Jews and Muslims who don't celebrate Christmas something that they can do together to forge their relationship and also to work on doing good in the St. Louis community.
Now, that certainly is a worthwhile project. Sophie, let me turn to you. I gather that this year is something of a departure from past years because of a special focus on the immigrant community here.
Right. This year, for the first time, we're going to have the International Institute be a site. And we will be having a group of young kids participating and working on crafts and story time and games. And really, it isn't just Jews and Muslims. We have a whole variety of faiths that participate on that day. We have a big group of Mormons that come every year to help us. And they actually, on Wednesday, helped make hygiene kits for that we will be distributing at the International Institute.
Right. Why this year and this particular focus?
I think because there's been such a rhetoric against immigrants, especially refugees, that we want them to feel welcome. The city is a great example because the Bosnian community really revitalized South City. And I think St. Louis is a great city that shows that, you know, we welcome immigrants. And hopefully the rhetoric that's going on right now will not change that.
Yeah. Anna Crosland, why is this important to you?
Well, it's very important. In terms of the clients that we serve at the International Institute, and also just my firm beliefs that multiculturalism, that embracing everyone of all faiths and backgrounds is very important to the community itself, both in terms of current peaceful operations, but also in terms of us all having a safe and productive future.
Now, what kind of a year has it been for Muslim refugees in particular?
Well, you know, it's been a really interesting year with a variety of what I call extremities at both ends. You know, we at the International Institute, just among the refugees that we sponsored, not the others that we served as well, actually had a 40% increase in the number of refugee arrivals in St. Louis, moving from about 600 to over 1,000 in the last year. Of those individuals, a significant number were Muslims. But not exclusively Syrians. We had 271 arrivals that were Syrians. But also our second largest arrival population, which is the Somalis, are mostly Muslim. We also had Iraqis and others that were Muslim as well. In addition to our largest population that was actually sponsored, which were the Congolese. So it's been a real mix, but a lot of Muslims. And they arrive over here shell-shocked to a degree because they have experience so much of the hardship and some of the kinds of things, in fact, we've been seeing on the nightly news in terms of the devastation. And they're arriving over here frightened now because they really don't know whether they're going to be welcome in the community, what kind of subtle but also overt anti-immigrant, anti-refugee rhetoric they're going to have to face. And so opportunities like this one that's coming up on December the 25th are really important ways for the community to be able to say, you are welcome, regardless of your background, that if you're prepared to be part of the community, we want to embrace you and help you do so. And that alleviates some of that stress. Sure. And lets people then feel more comforted and positive about the new experiences coming to them.
Roberta Gutwein, what do you expect to learn this Sunday through this this particular experience?
Well, I've been doing this since the beginning for the last 6 years, so I'd just like to speak a little about what I've learned over that time.
Sure.
And that is the similarities between the Jewish and the Muslim communities. Everybody hears about the differences and how people don't get along. But truthfully, getting to know the Muslim community very well, I just see the values are so similar. They value education. They value doing good in the community, loving kindness. They value charity. And I think when we start the morning at 9 a.m. with a breakfast at the mosque on Weedman Road, and anyone who comes to that mosque is just submerged into this feeling of love and goodwill between Jews and Muslims. We sit down, we eat together, we visit. It's just a wonderful, joyous feeling. And I did not know about that before I started working on this project. And it's just something I think everybody learns, and I've developed wonderful friendships over the years from doing this, and it's just been it's a blessing to both communities, I think.
Do you think that some members of your community, the Jewish community, went into this, who became involved, went into it with some trepidation, perhaps?
You know, there could be some people who feel that way, but I have to say, anybody I mention it to just really embraces the idea of doing this in the Jewish and the Muslim community. When you tell people about this project, everybody wants to sign up and get involved with it. I haven't met one person who was hesitant.
Sophie Malik, how about on your side in the Muslim community here? Any concerns and fear is too strong a word, trepidation perhaps?
No, not really. To be quite honest, this has become a yearly thing. Most Muslims, most volunteers come back every year. It's a very important thing. It's a great interfaith event we have, but we've also developed a lot of friendships. And if anything, every year we get, is there more we can do? And so this year, we sent out a survey after the event, and most volunteers, what they say is, I wish there was more we could do. And so we've added one event. There was a crop walk that we participated as a team, and we had a good turnout. And
what is a crop walk? I'm missing
it
that.
Was the crop walk is organized by another charity. It's basically the Coalition Against Poverty. And I didn't know anything about it. Once I started participating in the Day of Service, Gail Wexler, who staffs this event, she introduced me to a lot more events. And so I became part of the Coalition Against Poverty. And at one of the meetings, they were talking about this walk. And it's basically just to raise awareness through donations about hunger issues. And so Muslims and Jews walked together this past, I think it was in September. So we're trying to add a little bit more projects because Muslims have a tendency to go out of the country or out of town during this holiday. So they would like other opportunities that where we can work as, you know, with Jews and other faiths.
It's interesting, almost ironic. You mentioned off the air that you're getting so many volunteers these days that they work so quickly that they're complaining because there's not enough to do.
Yes, that was probably one of the biggest complaints that we had last year because we do have three sites that are walk-ins: United Hebrew Center, Central Reform Congregation, and the mosque on Weedman. And so we don't always know how many people are going to show up on the walk-ins. And so for CRC, for example, I think they were done within 20 minutes. They do the toiletries for the Ronald McDonald House. So, yeah, we have a little concern. So we've added a lot more projects. And that is why, even though we do have the three walk-ins, we prefer that people register ahead of time. So we have an idea, because a lot of these sites are make-it sites. And so we want to make sure that we have enough supplies.
It's too late to volunteer now.
No, it is not.
But you can still do it online?
No, you can't register online, but you can show up to the three walk-in sites.
The walk-ins. We'll put a list of those sites on our website as well. Roberta, have you had the same complaint, people enough to do?
We work on it together, so we've been aware that at some of the sites people run out of activities quickly, but we try to fix it so that that doesn't happen again, because we know when people put aside the time to volunteer, they want to feel like they're doing something. But people can go online and look. There's a website where they can see what the three walk-on sites are, and they'll be able to go to any one of those three. But also, I want to remind everyone that we do have the breakfast that you don't have to register for. It's open to everyone, that people go to before they do their volunteer project.
Of course, Hanukkah begins on Saturday.
Right.
And that's your holiday for this particular season. Apparently, that's not cutting into turnout at all.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a nice way to celebrate Hanukkah, to do good deeds. So I think a lot of people want to do it.
Anna, I'm going to have to take a break in a moment. As a matter of fact, I think I'll do that now and come back so I give you a chance to properly answer the question I have for you. We are talking about the Jewish and Muslim Day of Community Service, which is going to be this Christmas Day, and which members of those two faiths are going to be at a number of sites around the area volunteering to do some projects that are assigned to them, and also to help some members of the Christian faith have some time off on Christmas Day. We'll come back and continue the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Sophie Malik and Roberta Goodwine. Anna Crosland, also of the International Institute, is with us. And Anna, let me turn to you with regard to what specific projects are you going to have for these folks to be doing at the International Institute on Sunday?
Well, our site's a little bit different than some of the others, where projects are actually going to be conducted at it. And instead, it's going to be a day of welcoming activities a couple-hour period of welcoming activities for children especially, but for some of our new arrival families. And so it's really focusing more on volunteers helping to entertain the kids. And there are going to be a variety of different kinds of games, for instance, that they'll be playing with the children. There'll also be a storytelling, snacks, etc. And at our site versus some of the other sites for that day, actually, families were able to sign up with children over a certain age. And so it was very attractive to some of the people who wanted to volunteer, because they could do it as a family as opposed to just the adults participating. Just in the last 2 months at the International Institute, in fact, we've sponsored, I believe it's more than 75 children, plus their parents have been invited to the event because of their recent arrivals. We really focused, because of the large number of refugees that we've had lately, on just the most recent arrivals for this. Because as you can imagine, for those individuals who, once school's over, and school was out, I think, on the 19th in the city, they don't have television sets. They don't have the money to go out or the knowledge in terms of being able to go to the movies or entertain themselves. And so part of what's really important during this is making connections and feeling welcome during this holiday period.
How do the kids of these families recently arrived, how do they react and adjust to the transition?
Well, it varies according to the individuals and whether, for instance, they have come directly from a camp only recently, having arrived there from their country, their country of origin, or whether, in the case of some of these individuals, they've in fact lived 3-5 years in a refugee camp, or in limbo before they come over here. And one of the big issues there is whether they've been able to attend school or not. If they've been in the refugee camps, they may, in fact, have been able to get a little bit of schooling during the week. If they've been in Turkey or Egypt or some of these other countries waiting to be able to be resettled, as in the case of the Syrians, then they are usually denied access to schools while they're there. And so they've experienced educational cessation. So getting over here can be very intimidating to them because they may not have had schooling in a long time. They may not have even been in group processes where they've learned how to be able to get along with a lot of other kids. So it's one of the reasons, in fact, why we are so positive about encouraging refugee resettlement for these individuals where they're within the city boundaries initially so that they can attend the New American Preparatory Academy on South Grand, where they have staff who are especially skilled in being able to help these young people transition.
Roberta, this brings to mind perhaps the need for special skills in dealing with certain people in certain kinds of situations. Are you able to classify or somehow segregate the volunteers that you have so that people who might do better dealing with children who have special needs with regard to this transition, that sort of thing?
Well, we haven't done that in the past. Yeah. It's just for a very brief period that we're interacting, and usually there's staff on hand to help mm-hmm. us if there are any special needs. And it hasn't been a problem at places like the International Institute. We do try to send families because it's a nice place for people with children to go.
And the interaction of the children obviously is a good thing. Yeah.
It is a good thing.
And in our case, I will say that I asked my staff who were non-Christian if any of them would like to volunteer for the event. And so we have two of our staff who are native language speakers and who have volunteered to also help coordinate that site. And so there is experienced staff there to be able to help create the linkages that are important to be able to ensure the success of an event like this. And the other thing that is so important, as Roberta says, is that and it addresses part of that anti-immigrant, anti-refugee sentiment is people need to meet other people who are not like them at early ages where they can begin to develop those relationships, discover and appreciate shared values, because that's the core of how we, in fact, learn to be not just accepting but welcoming of newcomers.
And I will say that on the website, you sign up for three sites that you'd like to go to. And I think people probably tend to sign up for sites where they'd be comfortable dealing with whatever kind of volunteer work is needed.
I was just about to bring that thought to Sophie here. In terms of the International Institute, what kind of a balance are you going to have between Muslim and Jewish volunteers at a place like that?
We're probably going to have a little fewer Muslims there.
Fewer?
We will, yeah. Unfortunately, because fewer Muslims registered ahead of time this year. A lot of Muslims this year, for whatever reason, are out of town. And we in the Muslim community tend to have a lot of weddings this time of year because everybody's off. So there will be more of a Jewish community that at the International Institute. Unfortunately, almost at every site, there will be more Jewish people.
Well, you're anticipating a number of walk-ins, as you indicated earlier.
And a good portion of those will be Muslims, because for some reason, they will not register ahead of time.
Well, it must be sort of a logistic situation there in trying to determine where to send these people. You got a choice of a couple of dozen sites.
Right. Well, for walk-ins, they're limited to three sites.
Oh, okay.
They're limited to three sites. And that is why, since the breakfast is going to be at the mosque at Darul Islam, that we really pushed that the mosque needed to be a walk-in site. A lot of the times, especially for Muslims, it's a little uncomfortable for them to leave what they're comfortable with. And so I am gearing them more towards United Hebrew or CRC, just, you know, to get out of their box. But if they're not comfortable, I mean, again, anybody is welcome to go to whatever three walk-in sites we have. But yeah, when they walk in at the breakfast, we normally try to gear, like, as people come in, to kind of divide it equally. If they say, like, CRC is a little bit more towards the city, it might be a little bit more difficult for them. So then we give them the option of United Hebrew or, of course, the mosque.
But the International Institute is not one of those sites.
No, we did have a couple people because with the International Institute, we were limited on the amount of people we were allowed to send. On a lot of sites, we're limited. That's why we do the registration, because a lot of nursing homes are very small sites. And so the International Institute, we had certain age restrictions, nobody under 5. And so we needed to make sure that we had the proper number of people who were going to be volunteers who were going to be assigned to that site.
We have a caller here who wants to get into the conversation. Let's bring him in. This is Lee. He's calling from Kirkwood. Lee, thanks for being with us. You're on the air.
Well, thanks, Don. Hey, I just wanted to congratulate you guys on the interfaith effort, and I'm sort of surprised you're looking for things to do. I've got a suggestion for you. I was brought up in a Jewish household. My dad was a World War II vet with the Jewish war veterans. And for over 50 years, Mom and Dad, along with their other veterans, volunteered every Christmas Day at the Veterans Hospital at Jefferson Barracks. These were all World War II guys. I imagine they're pretty much all gone by now. But the need doesn't go away. So check out the Veterans Administration. It was one of those traditions that I'll always remember, and I think this need continues. So I just offer that to you.
Thank you. It's a great idea.
Lee, thank you for the call. Roberta, what are some of the other sites? We really haven't talked very much about specific.
Well, I hate to talk about them since people can't go. But for next year, we go to a number of nursing homes. People go to the Harvey Karnblum Jewish Food Pantry. There's a wonderful project for younger children called Little Projects, Little Hands, and families come together, and it's focused on younger children, but they have them making all kinds of things that young children can do, like no-sew blankets, and there's a crisis. They go to the St. Louis Crisis Nursery, and they help if there are any children there. There's a group that always goes to the St. Louis Juvenile Detention Center and works with the young people who are there. One important thing we do is we deliver cookies to the police and fire stations all over the city and county. It's just a wide variety, so I would really recommend to anybody who hasn't registered yet this year that they go to one of the open sites. But for next year, go on the website early, and you can sign up to do what there are many, many places to go and many kinds of activities to do. And, Don, I would like to say one thing today, and that is I'd like to recognize Gail Wexler, who's the Director of Domestic Issues and Social Justice at JCRC, because this will be her last year. She's leaving JCRC. And really, the whole event has grown under the auspices of Gail's leadership. It started as a very teeny event. Now we'll probably have over 900 volunteers with a breakfast for over 300. It's a website. It's just a huge project with many, many moving parts. And Gail Wexler is the reason that it goes so well every year. And I just wanted to pay recognition to all that she's done. I know everybody in the Jewish and the Muslim community is very grateful to Gail and all she's done.
Again, we'll put information of this type on our website at stlpublicradio.org. You mentioned, I forgot which one of you three mentioned before, that there were any number of faiths aside from, I guess it was you, Sophie, aside from Muslims and Jews, Christians among them?
Yes, we have Christians. We've had Buddhists in the past. I've heard that some Hindus might be coming. So really, it is open to every faith. It's a great way, especially I try to reach out to, kids who maybe are staying in town at WashU and at SLU. Again, it's just for a few hours. Most events are over by noon. And everybody is welcome to come.
All right. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I'll go down the line here, starting with Anna. Anna, what do you hope will come of this?
Friendships.
Yeah.
Easing some of the tensions that occur in communities because people don't understand or have a friend or someone they know who is not quite like them. You know, when you look at there's natural fear and then there's xenophobia. You know, you ease natural fear through these kinds of introductions, and that's what I think is so great about this.
It sure changes. Relationships sure change
it
when
does.
People actually get to know each
right.
other.
Right. Yeah. Whether and the best way to do it is as small kids, but if you can't do it then, it's not too late when you're an adult.
Yeah. Roberta, I'm pretty sure we understand what you hope to come of this, but what have you seen come of it in the past, in the last 6 years?
I think it's just... Well, I think at this time of year, it's just a feeling of hope. We have so many sad things happening and scary things happening every day in the newspaper. And I think when you read about people coming together and working so well together and people who you wouldn't think would get along so well getting along so well, it's a very hopeful thing.
The fact that you have so many volunteers signed up already this year would really seem very, very hopeful to me if I were in your shoes or just observing what's going on.
Thank you. I think so. I agree.
Sophie, same question to you. What do you hope is going to come of this? And we have just about a minute
well,
left.
Well, like Roberta said, from the past 6 years, I've made a lot of new friends. And really, it just helps in a very, not in a structured environment, just, you know, it helps interfaith interactions and just open dialogue. And I think what most people realize is, you know, we might be of different faiths, but we all have the same goals. We all want, you know, a great environment to raise our children. And I feel that all of us have the same, you know, aspirations for the future.
Going to have to end it right there, ladies. Thank you so much for being with us. Sophie Malik, thank you for being with us. Roberta Goodwine. They are co-chairs of the Jewish and Muslim Day of Community Service. And thank you, too, to Anna Croslin of the International Institute for being with us. Great to see you all. Happy holiday season to all of you.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to be here.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.